This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Yak Gadget. For all your fine quality kayak fishing accessories, go to yakgadget.com. Pelican cases, coolers, and lighting. Go to pelican.com. And the 153 Bait Company. For all your hard and soft bait needs, go to the153angler.com. So join with me as together we dive into the tips and techniques that will help make us better anglers out on the water. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Bass Fishing for Noobs here on the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. I am the host of the Noob Show, Sean Lavery. Thanks again for joining me this week. And tonight we have a returning guest. It's been a while since he's been on the Noob Show, but I'd like to welcome back Mr. John Toast Oates from thefishyacker.com. Welcome back to the show, John.
What's up, Sean? Good to see you again.
Good to see you again too, bud. For the folks that maybe missed the first time you were on or haven't seen Fish Yakker, why don't you just give them a quick overview of who you are? We can let them look up the other show if they really want to dig in, because you kind of went into, have a pretty storied history in the kayak fishing community. So
yeah, I guess. I've been around for a minute, I guess. Again, I'm John Oates. Most people just call me Toast. From the Virginia Beach area originally. I actually grew up fishing for redfish and stripers and flounders and specks. I moved up this way to Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, on the north branch of the Susquehanna River back in 2009. So a lot of people would think, oh man, you're a smallie guy. Well, I grew up mainly doing saltwater and a lot of the tidal rivers like the Chickahominy and stuff like that, James down in Virginia. Cop by trade back in 2007, I started the Fish Yakker YouTube series. I got just shy of like 6 million views, I think, on that. But now I primarily fish the Susquehanna River, but I do a lot of the BASS Kayak Nation tournaments. I do a lot of local and regional tournaments, do a lot of bass tournaments too, power boats. And that's Coco, if anyone's ever seen the video that wants to come in. But I travel anywhere and fish anywhere for anything. But primarily known for the Fish Yakker, YouTube channel.
And that's where I first got in contact with you or heard about you was through that. I was searching for some technique and happened upon a video that you had done, and been following ever since. Particularly because you and I do fish a lot of the same waters. I don't generally make it up as far north as you are, but it is still somewhat similar, yeah. Not exactly the same, but so again, definitely guys check out fishyacker.com for tons of great information. I think the first time we had you on, we talked about you're searching AliExpress for budget lures and stuff like that, and so there's definitely you know, I've benefited from that. I do still, you know, check out things now and then. It takes a while to get here, but, you know, every once in a while you'll find a gem that, you know, save you a bunch of money. So
yeah, it's not what it was a couple of years ago when we filmed that, though. The whole like AliExpress world has totally changed.
It is definitely different. So, and definitely, you know, a little, you know, use a little caution on what you're doing there, because, you know, there has been all sorts of stuff with, you know, kind of security things there too. But that being said, the reason why I brought you on tonight was I happened upon a video that you did not too long ago, talking about a cold water technique that I have not had a lot of success with. I haven't fished a ton of cold water because I didn't get a dry suit until kind of the middle of last year. So last winter was probably my longest foray into cold water fishing, because I actually had the equipment to do it safely. But I, you know, didn't have much luck at all on anything. But one of the things that I did try briefly was the hair jig. And I saw you do a show on them. And so I reached out to the vendor who you mentioned, and we'll definitely bring them up here in a bit, because I think they're definitely make a great product. But yeah, so hair jigs.
Yeah.
What makes them such a good technique for this time of year?
Well, when people think of hair jigs, a lot of them, especially on the mid-Atlantic, think a lot more like, you know, striper fishing, like bucktails.
Like a bucktail, right?
Yeah. But they're a 12-month lure. Even on the Susquehanna, if we, you know, don't have ice chunks floating down the river, you can catch a smallie on a hair jig. I go down south and catch spotted bass on them, largemouth on them. You can catch anything on them. But during the winter, they're just deadly, just because of the action that you can impart onto the lure. I mean, for those that like fishing a Ned rig, and I just have one here for to kind of show you the comparison. And I got a little jar of water here. But if you like fishing a Ned rig, a hair jig is basically a Ned rig on steroids. We're all familiar, and again, I'm using smaller ones here a lot. This time of year, you want to use as small a presentation as you can, but these are typically what I have here, like eighth of an ounce to a quarter ounce. And just for to show, I've got for instance, I've got the silicone skirted jig. Most people are more familiar with that, but this when the water gets cold, you can still catch a lot of fish on silicone skirts. But when you start throwing hair jigs like marabou or, you know, rabbit fur, all the different hair, but there's a difference in the type of hair you're looking at. But this will just flutter, like I said. And for instance, this one I've already got wet. I'll show you in the jar in a second. But this is one from Wake Up Jigging, the one I used in that video. And essentially, this has a similar action to the Ned rig, in that if they're using a floating hair and the way they're tying it, it'll actually go vertically, almost like a crawfish presentation, if not better flotation than you even have on the TRD from a Z-Man. But this, when you got the cold water, it doesn't affect the hair or the fur on it, and that stuff just flutters. I mean, amazing action to it. When you talked about the plastics, the action often isn't as good as cold as it gets. But you can use this. If the water's not frozen, you can use it. You can even, again, you can ice fish with them. But it's all about the size and the weight that you're looking for. But, yeah, if you like throwing a Ned rig, you definitely got to try air jig.
And I've seen some amazing underwater video where the hair is just kind of pulsating, and like it's just such a natural movement, even almost more so than the way the TRD and, you know, some of those plastic baits work. So
I've got a jar here. Again, I'll try to do this without getting myself soaking wet. But it's basically as you're seeing the Ned rig, the whole concept. Again, the TRD, it's not quite as wide of a jar, but you're looking at a buoyant material there with the Elastec. Don't get me wrong, I love Elastec. This stuff's great and it's indestructible. But again, That's why they joke and they call it Tierney the Turd. Because again, when it's really cold, you're still going to get some action in that, but you're not going to get as much. Again, this is a slow moving, dragging presentation, and they will work quite well sometimes during the winter, especially if you find a school. But the action you can impart, that's just.
And just look at the way that puffs out right away. Like, it, you know, it looked kind of like a drowned rat when you were had it out of the water, but as soon as you put it in the water, man, it that skirt just puffs out, and
you can again, we get them with the right material like this, you're looking at a buoyant hair on it, and this will essentially stand up again if I had a wider jar, just like the TRDs do, and you can have even more action in it. I'm using a round ball jig head on these. I'm not using a flat mushroom head. And you're still getting that vertical landing presentation, just like you would in the Elastec. But the ones here, again, this one is primarily hair. But, I mean, I'll use them like this one, a brown one here. I know Matt, the guy with Wake Up Jigging, you know, tied this one for me again. And the one you've got there, got a little bit of the flash in it.
There's my brown one. Yeah. Even the hook matches on this one too. Yeah.
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 But I mean, you can sometimes you can mix silicone with it for a combination of different actions. And the funny one is, if you go to your local like Walmart or somewhere, get a local craft store, if you can find it, get some craft fur. This is a synthetic craft fur. It's a little bit bigger jig head. It's like a 3/16 right here. But I'll use this and drag it on the bottom of the brown for that crayfish presentation. And what I've actually done there, I actually cut a strip of the craft fur because the fur is only maybe an inch or so long. So I actually cut a long rectangle of it out. And I'll give some credit there with Jeff Little. He used to do something similar back in the day too. But again, you're looking as basically a piece of cloth in there that gives it some flotation, some buoyancy, and actually helps it to wave in the water. But again, you can use basically anything. I mean, heck, your dog shed a lot, pick some dog hair off the floor. I mean, you can tie them and the fish will just, if they're in the mood for that, they'll obliterate it. I mean, I did do a video since the one that you and I were talking about. Ironically, the water we're talking now in Susquehanna has gotten really cold, and we're actually catching more on small silicone jigs than the hair jig. So again, there are times when you can find something else that'll work better. But if nothing is working, go to a downsized hair jig. And again, I use typically an eighth of an ounce, and just let the current drag it. If it's not too heavy like this, again, you'll snag the heavier ones up if you're not paying attention. But just let that drift on current seams, slowly dragging along the bottom. And again, if it's warmer water, usually just like a Ned rig, but they'll pick it up. The lazy cold fish will definitely hit air jig. As long as the water ain't frozen, you'll catch a fish on them.
Okay. And that kind of led me to my next question was going to be generally working it, because one of the things that I was frustrated with a lot was that I was hanging up a lot. Now with a Ned rig, sometimes I'll rig it kind of at an angle so that I'm covering the hook, which kind of cuts down on my hangups a little bit. But with a hair jig, you're not really going to do that. So I was curious how you're working that. If you're looking for, you know, obviously slower moving or even, you know, not stagnant, but very slow moving current. And if that was kind of how you were not snagging up as much, I know in the video that I watched, you talked about casting into the faster move water and then pulling it just into the slow moving. So it was kind of sitting right on that edge. And so I, you know, that made sense to me, but I was just curious, like if I fish from shore, I know I would snag up a lot.
That's why I carry lots and lots of hair. You're going to lose them, especially on the Susky or a rocky river like this. But yeah, you find those current seams adjacent to deeper holes, especially right now. If you can find those deeper holes, they're going to be down hunkered down in it. Funny thing is, the same place you're going to find these eddies where you're going to find these fish, you don't know what you're going to hook into. It's a good chance you're going to snag like a 30-pound carp too. Which you look at the videos from last year, whenever the river's up, the carp and quillback are going to the same areas. And sometimes you'll hook them in the lips. Sometimes they'll take them. Sometimes you're just getting them under the fins, though, and you're in for the ride of a lifetime. But Yeah. So you're just going to find those holes with a little bit of current next to it, cast it out, just drift it through real slowly and drag it. I mean, you can hop it a little bit as the water temperature gets better, but this time of year, basically almost dead sticking. And just, okay. Just find those deeper holes. Just, I mean, you can find a deeper hole. Again, deeper hole for what we're talking about is 6 feet. But, I mean,
right.
First place where we'll go where it's like 10 or 15 feet. And they're in there usually like right below ledges, right next to drop-offs, just hunkered down up against whatever type of current break they can find. And they will hit them too. People say, oh, well, what about when it's really muddy? You can still pick them up when it's muddy. I mean, I catch a lot of fish in muddy water on the Susky on a hair jig. They'll still hit it.
It sounds like almost the same exact places I would be targeting with a Ned rig. So it seems like an easy transition to make.
Same thing.
Yeah. Cool. And I know the video I watched, you were fishing from shore, but if you were out in a kayak, would you anchor or would you actually float with the current and then just kind of let it bop along too? Or are you anchoring and bringing it to you, or how do you kind of work that?
I'm not much of an anchor guy when it comes to the current, but if you got a stakeout pole or power pole or something, a river stick, for instance, the shorter ones we have for Yak Attack. But if you can get up in those eddies behind a bigger boulder or something or hugging the shoreline, if you're looking for a part of the river that comes and it turns and you're looking at a point and just below it, if there happens to be deeper water, just hug up into that eddy. I usually don't anchor again because I either flip or lose the anchors. That's just my life, right? But yeah, that's where you want to be. Just hug it with the kayak. Again, where I'm catching them off the shore, the same type of place you can get to with a kayak easy. Again, right. Be careful this time of year without the dry suit, because you're talking this presentation. I'm out there in 40-degree, 38-degree water. But yeah, they're usually hugging structure. Sometimes they'll be out deep, out in the middle. But a lot of times you're just looking at those eddies right along the shoreline, and that's how I was catching them. That video, I caught over half a dozen fish in about a half an hour.
Right.
Just because I figured out the pattern. That's what they wanted, was a black hair jig.
Right. And that was and most of the time you're imparting the movement for the most part. It is drifting with the current, but you're kind of bringing it along, correct?
Yeah, you're bringing it along, but I mean, to be totally honest, that day, most of the moving it along was to keep it off the bottom enough so it wouldn't go right into the rocks.
Gotcha.
I mean, okay. You're talking, this time of year, you're talking about just slow dragging.
Okay.
Slow dragging. Again, as it warms up a little bit, again, like the pre-spawn bite, you're going to be hopping it. They'll just obliterate it. And again, as it gets warmer, you can use larger presentations and stuff. But this time of year, heck, color doesn't always even matter. I mean, I will use white, black, everything, but just this time of year, basically just letting the current push it a little bit. Cause again, we're using a lighter weight on it and just kind of dragging it. And in water, you got to think, cause again, like I showed you in that jar, you don't have to move them. That current is going to make it wiggle and move around. That's a cool thing compared to soft plastic. You don't have to do anything to make this thing move. It's really just, it's cool.
And I'm kind of looking forward to trying the wake up jigs, just because of what you said about them being a little bit buoyant. So that, because I think one of the ones I tried last year, this is a VMC one. Mm-hmm. And, but I had some white ones and I can't remember where I got them. Oh, and I had Mike Reinhold from Kayak Anglers of Central PA. Yep. He makes his own. And I tried, that was actually what I used most of last year. I actually forgot I even had those. Those are still upstairs, but I think I bought two or three bags from him and I lost probably 90% of them. But they weren't as buoyant. I maybe just didn't have as much hair as some of these do, or the different types of hair. But I was having a lot of problems with snagging those up and losing them. But that's why I'm kind of excited, because I think these do seem like they'd be a little more buoyant and maybe, a little easier to keep from getting hung up quite as much.
Yeah, lighter weight. I mean, and he's using multiple different types of hair in them too. And also, the way he does it too, he's got the two longer feathers in it, almost like claws for that crayfish presentation too.
Yep, yep.
But yeah, just the way he makes them. I mean, like I said, he's kind of a mad scientist. I mean, I don't know. He's always coming up with crazy lures and stuff. And, hey, let's try this. And that's why we go out in the boat. Just basically we'll spend a day in the boat, catch like one fish just because we're going through different lures, trying different patterns and stuff, seeing if stuff will, spinners will spin and certain hairs will flutter. But, again, like I said, these, I'm not, I mean, again, for the river, it's different. I mean, if you, like a striper jig, again, you're looking more of a bucktail, a stiffer fur. But this stuff, again, like marabou, like the old school marabou. If you, I was digging through a tackle box the other day. It was actually my wife's grandfather's tackle box. Probably, I think it's probably 60 or 70 years old with little old marabous. And they're tied up to the jig head. Again, like this stuff is.
Right.
That's what it is. And yeah, marabou, those have so much action to it. That's the type of material we're looking for. And again, the craft fur stuff is the same, feels the same way, but like a softer, more, you know, flexible type of fur. And if you can get something that floats, that just even that much better.
Right. That sounds like money for sure. Yeah. As far as like your setup for throwing these, guessing spinning rod, you do braid to leader or do you do straight fluoro or what are you throwing that on?
I'm usually throwing on a medium light action, spin and combo, usually 20 pounder lower braid with like a 2 foot fluoro leader, maybe 8-10 pounds. And again, the lightest you can get, the better. The only problem you're going to get, you're going to snap them off a lot on the rocks, or you're going to hook a carp and break off. But other than that, that's what you want to do because you want to get the best action. And if you can get out and actually find a deeper hole and vertical jig into it, again, that lighter line, it's a ticket. But I wouldn't go very heavy on it because it's not going to have the action.
Okay, that sounds pretty much like my net rig setup. So sounds like that would kind of
it's be crappie easy fishing, to basically
throw on there. Yeah, that makes sense. Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Trying to think of what else. What other applications you would use that in? Obviously, the river makes sense just because of the current is going to give that hair action to itself. Do you fish a lot of lakes or would you use them in lakes as much?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, anything you where you might be using like a big silicone skirted jig, you can use a hair jig. You may remember it was a few years back. I know Jacob Wheeler, I think, was a Chickamauga. He actually won a tournament with hair jigs. And we're talking for the largemouth, you're going to the bigger. Again, it's basically the same size setup jig as you would with a bat, like a larger bass jig. But you can use the same thing, and it's usually something you're going to get action no one else is going to be throwing. But absolutely, you know, for lake fishing, you can absolutely pick them up on it. So, I mean, it'll catch anything. I mean, again, you're looking at, you know, basically you're looking at crayfish in the rivers or, you know, shiners and bait fish are still simulating like a dying bait fish if you're in a lake. But absolutely, and you can tie, if you're tying your own, you can tie them on a weedless jig head. That actually works. Sometimes I'll do that when I'm tying them for the river too. But just size it just like you would the silicone skirted jig. And you'll be surprised. I know, you know, Fish Labs even coming out with their own line, I think. You know, I mean, there's going to be different, you know, bigger companies are starting to buy in to the whole hair jig thing. It's like a big flashback.
Right. But, I was going to say, everything that's old is new again, you know, because
it's the OG lure.
Come back to it. This was another one of the wake up jigs I bought. It's actually silver with like a little bit of blue. And I thought that would be a perfect like bait fish kind of imitation. So that was why I picked that up.
Yeah. He just started tying that color a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Okay. And I was talking to an older gentleman about how they used to do it. He told me they could use squirrel tails and the purple squirrel tails because it was that same kind of tail because it was a lot longer fur. But he was like, we would save all of the squirrel tails and, you know, just hand tie them. And I was curious, like, when you hand tie them, what do you tie them to the jig head with?
Yeah.
What do you tie the hair to the jig head with?
You're listening to the Waypoint Podcast Network, brought to you in part by HuntStand, the number one hunting and land management app.
To be honest, I kind of cheat a lot. I do use a lot of different snaps and things of that nature.
Okay.
If I'm running and gunning and changing a lot. But just any of your standard knots. I mean, there's nothing to me. I tie pretty tight directly to to the eye. I mean, there's nothing really, you know, nothing's really special that I do with it. But yeah, I usually tie my fluoro directly to the lure.
I mean, how do you attach the like that strip of fur to the jig head? How do you do that?
Oh, the strip. Okay, gotcha. So, with me, what I'm actually doing with it, I'm taking a jig head, and I'm using fly tying vices and equipment with bobbins and everything. But I'm actually using, I'll put a little bit of the thread on the jig head, then I actually take a little small amount of super glue on it to hold that strip. And again, this is the craft fur that I'm usually using, to super glue it down and then tying it off. But I mean, it's kind of idiot proof. I mean, if you want to learn to tie flies, start with a hair jig. You can't really mess it up.
No.
I mean,
after talking to Mike a little bit about it, I was like, it seems like it's not rocket science. So I figured I could give it a try. And then I was following my wife to the craft store looking for marabou. And and interestingly enough, I heard of a gentleman who was taking marabou and a bobbin pusher and actually pushing it into his TRD to give, so he would kind of implant the marabou into the TRD. So it was kind of sticking out, kind of doing the same thing.
There was somebody that was actually carrying that. I'm sure somebody listening to this and watching it's going to know what it is, but I've actually seen that where they're actually like a hybrid, you know, Ned Rig hair jig. And I know I've seen them down south. I haven't seen them locally. I haven't seen many people using it up here, but I know I've seen them. And at least I think I might've seen somebody with it at ICAST.
Who makes the Ned Rig? Drawing a blank. Z-Man makes a nail weight that has a silicone like hairs coming off of it that you can put on to kind of do that too. But this guy was actually taking all out marabou and pushing it through the Ned Rig so it kind of had marabou sticking out of it basically.
That's really cool.
That's interesting too. So definitely something to keep in mind. Another thing to try. Kind of gives you the same effect, though not quite as poofy or as much movement as you're going to get from a straight like puffball hair jig there. And one of our show sponsors, Cody Jennings at Jig Masters, he actually does some drop shots that have marabou tied onto them as well. Cool. So those are pretty neat. I picked up a few of those from him. So I haven't had a chance to try those either, but marabou seems like pretty magic stuff as far as, attaching it to lures is concerned, because it does
it sounds almost comical when people are like, dude, you're just using hair on a hook. And then I get out there and I catch fish on and they're just blown away. And again, if that's the pattern they're looking for, that's what they're going to hit. I mean, you know, I do a lot of videos with my buddy Nick. And that's what we're using. I mean, we use, basically, we'll go through the whole winter and all we're using are hair jigs and blade baits.
I was going to ask you in colder waters if there's anything else. Oddly enough, tomorrow night and for the fall, this is going to air next Monday. It's Saturday night for those of you kind of just checking in. I'm interviewing Toast tonight and I'm interviewing Jeff Little tomorrow for following week. I think I'm going to talk to him about, suspending jerk baits and stuff like that. But, I was curious, I knew blade bait was definitely something else that I've tried. I've actually had a little bit more success with that than I have with the hair jig, but still either way, not a ton of success. So I was going to ask you if there's any other techniques that you tend to, shoot for colder weather, but.
Yeah, we'll go all winter long, use the hair jig. To be totally honest, tell you exactly what I use. Hair jigs, blade baits, small spoons, really small spoons, almost like ice fishing type of tackle. I will still pull out a Ned Rig sometimes if I'm not getting any hits. You know, we'll pull out Ned Rigs and grubs and soft plastics. I mean, honestly, I'd even throw a gulp or something. I mean, I'll try anything in the winter because, I mean, you're going to basically go out there shooting whatever you got. Whatever ammo you got, you're going to be throwing it down range at them. But usually if nothing else works, the hair jig still will. And then I'd probably put the blade baits just above that. And again, it's in the same type of area that we're looking for them, those deeper areas. your more calm water where they're just getting out of there, hunkering down and taking their winter vacation. And that's where you're going to pick them up. But those are usually what I use. Those are smaller presentations, again, usually on a smaller jig head or the smaller, you can get a smaller blade bait. That's what we're typically using. Again, I mean, I know a couple guys that won't even stop throwing spinner baits during the winter. I'm like, that's cool. Go for it. But I like boat and fish.
So, I was going to say that that was the one thing about this technique is that you're not going to be covering a ton of water quickly, at least from, you know, my experience. But as long as you can kind of isolate where you think they will be. And I think that's part of the battle. Like last year, I was trying in, you know, the deeper parts of the river by me, like the 10-foot deep sections, but there's just so much water to cover. I did catch, like I said, I caught one on the air jig last year, but that was probably out of a dozen trips out before, you know, from November through December, through the end of the year. One of my goals last year was to catch a fish every month of the year. And I caught my last fish, like November, second week of November, and I didn't catch another fish till March. But like I said, I had been out quite a few times, including Lake Redmond, the river. And so it wasn't for lack of trying. So, but I think a lot of times I was fishing too fast. Although you would think a spinnerbait would be, I mean, even if you're slow rolling a spinnerbait, you're still going to be moving it. So,
you dig just jigging and dragging it on the bottom. But I mean, you probably did have other bass hit you and you thought they were just snags or a leaf or something. Because I mean, when they're picking these up in the dead of winter, it's just a little bit of weight on the line. I mean, you're not, and sometimes they're swimming right at you really slow and you don't even notice they're there. I mean, the day that I was out using these on that video, they were actually extremely aggressive. But it was a couple of days later when Nick and I were out in his boat. And again, we were in a creek mouth, deep creek mouth up against the main flow of the river. And they were just really, I mean, you couldn't tell a difference if you had like a big, you know, small twig or a bunch of leaves or bass.
So you're just hook set on everything or how do you kind of?
You just feel the weight and you just lay down on them. Okay. You know, you just set the hook and hope you're not breaking off. That's the thing. And they're just really subtle pickups when they're, and again, we're talking super, super cold water, but you don't even know they're there. You probably did have them on there.
Okay.
But they're just picking it up and holding it.
Interesting. You know? Well, and I have upgraded my rods a little bit. Definitely have a little bit more sensitivity now. So I'm hoping that'll help too. So I'm definitely looking forward. I, depending on the weather tomorrow, I might try and get out because I have a little bit of time. But I'm definitely interested to. I want to try and catch a fish, you know, every month this year. And I've been doing good so far. I caught one last week, so definitely got November taken care of. So now we'll have to see as we get into December if I can keep it going. But
well, hit me up. I mean, that's why I got the jet boat like a few months back. I didn't get it for the summer because I'm still doing the kayaks and the tournaments and the stuff with the kayaks, but I got it so that when it's like, you know, just above freezing water temperatures, I don't have to squeeze into a dry suit.
No, that part does get old.
Yeah. So open invite for you. If you want to try it, January or February, we'll be out there. As long as there's not ice chunks the size of Volkswagens floating down the river, we're going to be in the boat. And then you're welcome always to join me, man.
Open invite. Dude, I
don't promise fish. I don't promise to catch anything.
Yeah, you've heard my history, so you know, I you know, it's only up from here. So, awesome, dude. Well, any other things you can think of? Any little tips or anything with the hair jigs that we can add on to this? I think we've covered a lot. You know, I feel definitely more comfortable now than I did. You know, maybe. I wasn't throwing it. I was kind of just soaking it, you know, and not necessarily in eddies or anything like that. I was just kind of going to what I thought was the deepest part and, you know, just dragging it on the bottom. So I definitely am going to treat it more like a Ned rig and throw it where I would throw a Ned rig and just see what kind of luck I get. So,
yeah, those deep stretches, those deep stagnant holes. And again, if there's ledge rock up against it, just throw it out there. And if you think you're going too slow, go slower. You know, you're almost dead sticking it. And just let the current flutter that fur around a little bit. And, you know, if you feel a little bit of weight, you know, hammer them. Because that might be a fish, a good chance of a fish, because you won't know a difference half the time with these, especially if you're talking like 35 degree water.
Yep. Yep. And I just saw somebody posted 42 degrees in between us. So it's definitely getting there quick.
Yeah, it was 44 last weekend, I think.
Okay. Here. Yep.
Like in Selins Grove area.
Okay. Yeah. This, I think this was just north of Harrisburg that I saw a guy post it. He was seeing 42. And yeah, so it's no doubt going to be, you know, at least that colder, if not colder. So,
well, the cool thing with these too is if you don't catch a bass, you'll catch a walleye.
Yeah.
That, the walleyes will tear them up too. I mean, that's a cool thing. In the river in the dead of winter, you don't know what you're going to catch. And again, you might snag a giant carp.
Hey, it counts as a fish to me, you know?
Yeah.
But, that's one of the things I love the most about the river is there is so many different things you can catch. You know, you can't, sometimes you never know what you're going to pull up, but,
right.
Cool. All right. I think that's about all I have. I wanted to give you a chance to shout out, you know, Fish Yakker and where folks can find you again, obviously.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. If you go on to fishyakker.com, the Fish Yakker YouTube channel, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, all over Facebook. But I post a lot in the Pennsylvania Kayak Fishing Association. But I'm all over the place. I think I'm pretty easy to find. And I'm always looking for company on the water, whether it be the kayak or on a powerboat.
Definitely, definitely.
Open invite.
And I'll make it even easier for the folks to find you. I'll put a link to fishyakker.com in the show notes. Also, I'm going to include a link to Wake Up Jigging so you guys can check out their site. Again, super friendly folks. When I messaged them, they got right back to me, gave me pricing, and you know, I placed an order and it was at my door. Now I'm a lot closer than some of the listeners might be, but still it got here super quick and you know, super happy with them too. So check out the show notes for that link as well. And awesome, John. I will get back in touch with you about maybe taking a ride on your jet boat because that sounds like a lot of fun. Cool, man. Thanks again for joining me. And until next time, everyone, this has been the Bass Fishing for Noobs segment on the Paddle and Fin Podcast, where we bring you the techniques, the tricks, and the tips to help you rip more lips. Have a good night, guys. That was an excellent closing by Cook for
that. Cool. That was good.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler, the Angler Button, and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.